1 Corinthians 15. We'll read 29 to 34 as a review of last week. A different vantage point of Paul defending the truth of the resurrection of the saints, the bodily resurrection of the saints. Of course, 1 Corinthians 15 begins with the proof of the resurrection of Christ, and then, of course, the proof of the resurrection of Christ from the vantage point of over 500 witnesses, eyewitnesses. And then Paul goes on to teach the bodily resurrection of the saints. So, 29 to 34. Paul says, "Else what shall they do which are baptized for the dead, if the dead rise not at all? Why are they then baptized for the dead?" And the emphasis here is in verses 30 and 32. He says, "And why stand we in jeopardy every hour?" And the implication is, "If the dead rise not." He says, "I protest by your rejoicing, which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord, I die daily." Or Paul's saying, "I risk my life every day preaching the gospel." He says, "If after the manner of men I have fought with beasts at Ephesus, what advantage if it me, if the dead rise not?" In other words, humanly speaking, what's in it for me? Am I getting something from this? He says, "If the dead rise not, let us eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die," and that's it. And listen, there's many in the world that believe that. You die and that's it. There's nothing else. But, beloved, that's not true. You have a never-dying soul. Or, let me reterm it like this. You have a soul that will exist throughout all eternity. When the body separates from the soul, or the soul rather separates from the body when you die, the Bible says, "Then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it." Your spirit returns unto God who gave it. So there is no ending or annihilation. That's a heresy, and it's not a truth. It's not true. Paul goes on, verse 33, "Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners." Basically, stay away from bad company that will corrupt you by lies against the truth of God's word, specifically against the resurrection. He says, "Awake to righteousness," verse 34, "and sin not. For some have not the knowledge of God, and I speak this to your shame." So, in short review, Paul defended the truth of the bodily resurrection of the saints from the vantage point of having risked his life for the sake of the gospel. If the dead rise not, Paul says, what in the world am I doing? But he risked his life. And listen, these witnesses, these eyewitnesses, remember, we're only about 30 years from the resurrection of Christ. There were still eyewitnesses alive that saw Christ alive after he had risen from the dead. And so they're like, how am I going to deny this? I saw him risen from the dead. So it's a biblical truth. 1 Corinthians 15:20, if you just back up a little bit, Paul says, "But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept." First fruits meaning harvest. His body was harvested. And he says, verse 21, "For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive, but every man in his own order. Christ the first fruits, then afterward they that are Christ's at his coming," speaking of the resurrection. So this morning Paul continues his defense of the truth of the bodily resurrection of the saints at Christ's return. And that's what we pick up in verse 35. So if you're back there at 15 and 35, this is obviously some of the questions that some of the saints at Corinth had, some that were in the church. But some will say, how are the dead raised up? Well, it's a good question. There's nothing wrong with the question. Where do we go to learn how the dead are raised up? Well, we go to God's book, to the Word of God. So some will say, how are the dead raised up? And here's another good question. With what body do they come up? Is it this same body? I mean, is this defective body going to rise up again? And I think that's the implication here. Verse 36, thou fool, Paul says, that which thou sowest, or that which is planted in the earth at burial, that which thou sowest, lost my place, that which thou sowest is not quickened. In other words, that's not what's going to come up except it die. And that which thou sowest not that body that shall be, but bare grain, it may chance of wheat or of some other grain, but God giveth it a body as it has pleased him, and to every seed his own body. And so the questions again, how does the resurrection happen? The resurrection, the bodily resurrection of the saints. And really, every body will be raised. There will be the resurrection of the just and of the unjust. So it's not just the saints that will rise, but the context of 1 Corinthians 15, 1 Thessalonians 4 is the resurrection of specifically the saints. So how does the resurrection happen? Next question, do the same bodies of the dead decomposed in the earth rise? Is it the same body that comes up? Will God gather up the dust and ashes, the atoms that is this body, this same fallen and sinful body, which once lived on the earth? Is that the body that he brings up? Well, the answer is yes and no. And so let me explain. Our bodies planted in the earth when we die will rise. So it's you, you will rise. Look at Daniel chapter 12. Let me just show you two references. Go to the book of Daniel chapter 12 and verse 2. So your body will rise, but there's a caveat to that. So I'll get to that. But so Daniel chapter 12 and verse 2. So understand this. Daniel 12, 2 says, and many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life and some to everlasting shame, or some to shame and everlasting contempt. So there's two categories in the resurrection. There's the righteous dead, or the dead in Christ, the saints, and there's the wicked dead. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Turn there, all the way back in the New Testament. 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 16. 1 Thessalonians 4, 16. Tell you what, we'll read 14 because that'll help you. Verse 14, Paul says, for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which, there's the word, sleep in Jesus. He's talking about those that have died believe in Christ. Those that sleep in Jesus will God bring with him when? At the coming of the Lord. For this we say unto you, by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. Prevent them from what? Prevent them from rising. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. And there it is, the dead in Christ shall rise first. So there's the resurrection of the righteous. So back to 1 Corinthians 15, if you get back there, 1 Corinthians 15. So you will still be you, saint of God, but you will not rise up the same way you were buried. You will still be you, but you're not going to rise up the same way that you were buried. How were you buried? Earthy, corruptible, and mortal. That's how you were buried. Verse 50. Look at verse 50. 1 Corinthians 15, 50. You're right there. And we'll fast forward here. We're not here yet. But he says, now this I say, brethren, that... Now listen. When Christ returns, you're going to heaven. At the resurrection, you're going to heaven. Flesh and blood, notice, now I say unto you, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, this body. These bodies aren't going to heaven. Well, these bodies unchanged. That's why I said yes and no. Notice, Neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Corruption, this body's corrupt, these bodies are dying. He says, verse 51, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, and that word moment means, it's the Greek word atomos. It means an atom of time. It's the shortest span of time, in a moment. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Y'all know what the twinkling of an eye is? It's like as quick as you could wink, is my best definition. He says at the last trump, the seventh trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible. The saints that have died and been long been dead, they shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be, there's that word again, changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, if it's going to actually go into heaven, bodily that is. Because listen, bodily, Christ is in heaven now. He's in heaven, bodily. We will be in heaven bodily. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal, we're mortals now. So you see the word must, this must happen if you will go to heaven. This mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, in other words, when this body is risen and changed, when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying, and this is when death is defeated. Death is swallowed up in victory. Death, remember, from 1 Corinthians, I think it's verse 23, 24, where was it? Verse 26, the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. Remember, the wages of sin is death. We die because we sin at the resurrection of the saints. The resurrection at the last day when the saints are brought up. Death is defeated. It's the last enemy that shall be destroyed. And so here in the resurrection, death is defeated. So if you would actually enter into heaven, you must first be changed. It's not the same. Your body, it's going to be you, but that body's going to be changed. And for that glorious change to take place in you when Christ returns, if you would be resurrected and brought into heaven, for that glorious change to take place in you, first in this life, you must be raised from spiritual death. See, that's physical death that you're raised from. You must first be born again by the Spirit of God. You must be raised spiritually in this life if you will be raised to the resurrection of the just. You must be raised up to life now. As Ephesians says, you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. And so you must be raised. Look at John chapter 5, 24. This helps us. If you look at John 5, this gives both aspects, spiritual life being given to the dead, the spiritually dead. Because listen, every human soul born of a woman, save Christ, every human born soul born of a woman is born dead, born a sinner, dead in their trespasses and sins. They need to be saved. They need to be born again. They need to be birthed anew. They need to be given life. So John 5:24, verily, verily, I say unto you, Jesus says, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. That's the new birth. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming and now is when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. That's the living dead, the sinners hearing the voice of the Son of God, hearing the gospel and believing in this life. Now, in verse 28, he goes on to the actual physical resurrection. He says, marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice. That's the physical resurrection. They that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. So there you have it, both aspects. And so for that glorious change to take place in you, the change of 1 Corinthians, we shall be changed. and we shall enter into heaven, you must first be changed in this life. You must be born again by the Spirit of God. So now back to 1 Corinthians 15, 35. Now the doubters' questions. The doubters' questions. How are the dead raised up? And with what body do they come up? Of course, verse 35 and 36, that's the questions. And Paul in verse 36 says, "Thou fool, that which thou sowest is not quickened except it die." In other words, the body must die if it's going to come up changed. And to illustrate the resurrection or the bodily resurrection of believers, Paul takes us to the school of farming, gardening, specifically what happens after you plant a seed in the earth. Now, y'all have planted vegetable gardens, right? My favorite plant to plant is corn. I love to plant corn and get corn stalks. My first experience with that was I didn't put them deep enough in the earth and they grew up and they fell over. So, but the corn seed or the kernel that you plant in the earth, it looks nothing like the plant that comes out. It looks totally different. Now, in the corn stalk and the ear of corn, those kernels look like the seed. But the point is, the seed does not bring forth life and grow until after it is planted in the earth. You can put a seed on the table and it'll sit there forever until it rots away. I mean, it'll sit there. You got to plant it in the earth. So the seed doesn't bring forth life until after it's buried. After it's buried in the earth and dies, only then does it bring up life from the soil in the which it's planted. But that which comes up, again, is very different from that which is planted. And that's one of the examples Paul uses. So also is the resurrection of the bodies. And Paul's teaching us that which comes up is going to be very, very profoundly different than that which you planted. Like the seed, Paul's teaching us. So a seed is planted, and then up out of the earth rises a new flourishing plant. Like corn or wheat or barley or some other fruit-bearing crop. It comes up and it's different. In fact, turn back to Genesis 1:9. Listen, God's perfect in all his ways, and he taught us, really, there's a lesson about what the resurrection would be in Genesis chapter 1 in the creation. And this is on the third day of creation. It says in verse 11, Genesis 1, 9 and 11, "And God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself, upon the earth, and it was so. And so the earth brought forth grass, and the herb yielding seed after his kind, and the tree yielding fruit, whose seed was in itself after his kind, and God saw that it was good, and the evening and morning were the third day." So the trees in creation grew up, and the seeds were in the fruit, or the seeds were in the plant, or in the grass. Y'all have seen the St. Augustine grass, right? When it grows up, and I think it's, I don't know what time of year it is, but they're all full of seeds. You ever see the grass grow? And you can see it's all full of seeds. And the seed falls back in the ground. The live seed falls back in the ground, dies, and up comes more St. Augustine grass. And so there's a lesson here about how life would come forth from death right here in creation. I mean, we see it. It's God speaking to us, if we would see it. The wisdom of God in the creation. Look at John 12:24. We read this in the first hour, but this is the words of Christ himself. John 12:24. This was when there were Greeks that wanted to meet the Lord. And Philip and Andrew, they said, "Look, these guys want to meet Jesus." And Jesus said this in verse 24. He said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you." Whenever Jesus said, "Verily, verily," it means this is extremely important. Of course, everything the Lord said was important. He said, "Except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, except it fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit." So that seed had to fall into the ground and die. Now, think about that in regard to what Paul's teaching in regard to farming. Now, Corinth had the same problem that existed in the time of Christ. The Sadducees were a sect of religious leaders that did not believe in the resurrection of the body. One of their arguments was, why would God bring up this same corruptible body? So they brought an argument to him one day. You can look at it in the Gospels. We won't look at it. I'll just read you a portion of it. But they came to him one day and they said, look, this woman married a man. The man died. So his brother married her. He died. All the way up to seven brothers had her to wife, and none of them bear seed. It was the law then that the brother should marry the woman to raise up seed for the brother's name. Well, they all died. So they were crafty, the Sadducees, who did not believe in the resurrection. They went to Christ and they said, so in heaven, whose wife will she be? And Jesus told them, you do err. He basically said, you ought to know better if you've studied the Old Testament scriptures, because the Old Testament scriptures teach the resurrection. He says, ye do err, not knowing the scriptures, nor the power of God. And then he said this, for in the resurrection they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but they are like us, or like the angels of God. They're like the angels of God in heaven. And so in the resurrection, there's a significant difference in the nature of our bodies, beloved. So first, he told them, you don't believe what is written in the Old Testament scriptures concerning the resurrection of the dead. Second, you don't believe in the power of God to raise and change these mortal bodies into that which is immortal and incorruptible. And in Mark's account, Jesus said, you therefore do greatly err. You're really wrong, and you should know better in this. And listen, I'll just show you one Old Testament reference. We read several last week. Look at Psalm 71:20. Actually, we'll look at two. Psalm 71:20, in the book of Psalms, we read most of this psalm last time, I believe. But in Psalm 71 and verse 20, the Lord says this, the psalmist rather, he says, Thou which hast showed me great and sore troubles, shall quicken me again, and shall bring me up again from the depths of the earth. Shall bring me up again, he says. Look at Isaiah chapter 26 and verse 19. The book of the prophet Isaiah, chapter 26 and verse 19. The prophet here writes, thy dead men shall live, together with my dead body shall they arise. Awake and sing, ye that dwell in the dust, for thy dew is as the dew of herbs, and the earth shall cast out the dead. Come, my people, enter thou into thy chambers, and shut thy doors about thee. Hide thyself, as it were, for a little moment, until the indignation be overpassed, that time of judgment. For behold, the Lord cometh out of his place to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity. For the earth also shall disclose her blood, and shall no more cover her slain. And so we see the Old Testament prophecy, and this is just a smidgen of what the Old Testament speaks about in the resurrection. Beloved in Christ, if you're a believer, if you're born again, you have already been resurrected spiritually by the power of God. At the resurrection of the last day, you will be resurrected bodily by the power of God. And Paul says, thou fool, that which thou sowest is not quickened except it die. So Paul's telling them, do you not understand that a seed cannot bring forth life until it dies? So that's what Paul's telling them. But then they say, but how are the dead raised up? And again, by the power of God. That's how they're raised up. Look at 1 Corinthians 6:14. I mean, this is the hammer right on top of the nail. But we'll look at it. How are the dead raised up? How does this happen? You know, we look at things like this and we think that's impossible. We look at things in the earthly realm. But if we would believe the truths of God and of the Word of God and the miraculous things that will happen of God, we must believe God by faith, right? I mean, we see God change sinners' hearts. We see God save sinners. We see them change in nature. We see them that were once mad and angry, we see them all of a sudden now they have the love of Christ in them. They change. That's miraculous. But so often we don't look at it that way. But look at chapter 6 and verse 14. Paul says here, "And God hath both raised up the Lord and will also raise up us." How? By His own power. By His own power. "As for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness," Psalm 17. "I will be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness." When I wake up like Him, wake up from the sleep of death, when I am resurrected. "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God." Beloved, right now it doesn't appear what we shall be, but we know that when He comes back, we shall be like Him. So we look at that and we see we'll be changed. We'll be able to be in His presence incorruptible with new bodies, brethren. And that's what the Scriptures teach. One more, Philippians 3:20. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 20. The book of Philippians. Paul here says, "For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ." In other words, we're waiting for Him to come back. And notice what he says, "who shall change our vile body." He's going to change this body. That's why I said, is it the same body? Well, yes and no. It's going to be significantly changed. "He shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto His glorious body, according to the working wherewith He is able even to subdue all things unto Himself." And so, again, if you have been born again by the Spirit of God, if you have been raised up spiritually by the power of God, that's the same power that's going to raise you up bodily at the resurrection at the last day. Now, back to 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 37. 15:37. Now Paul talks about the difference in what is buried in that which is raised up. Notice verse 37, he says, "And that which thou sowest," y'all know what sowing is, right? It's not needle and threading, it's planting. So they sowed the seed. He says, "That which thou sowest not that body that shall be, but bare grain. It may chance of wheat or of some other grain." So what you plant is not the body that will be in the resurrection. That which will rise out of the earth, beloved, it will be significantly and profoundly different from that which was planted. So that change brings up a new body from the earth. Like when you plant a corn seed, again, the corn stalk looks very different. The plant that comes out of the earth looks very different than the seed that went in the earth. So your bodies that come up, I want you to see, we're going to dwell in a new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. These bodies, every one of you have ailments. I mean, you look at me, I'm getting older by the year, older by the day. My hair gets grayer, the almond tree is flourishing, my right shoulder is probably going to need to be replaced. Those new bodies will have none of that, but the most significant thing about our new bodies is we'll have a regenerated soul in a regenerated new body. There'll be no more sin, no more death, no more crying, no more sorrow, no more tears. The former things, beloved, will be passed away. And so again, that which is planted is not the body that comes up in the resurrection. It's completely changed. So once again, Paul takes us to the school of farming. And we see here that from death comes life. From death comes life. You know, we see it every day. If you go out and plant a garden, if you're planting a winter garden, it might be too late. But when you plant a spring garden, when you're putting the seeds in the ground, I mean, you're seeing death the death of the body. And then when that blade comes up, you're seeing the resurrection. You're seeing life come from death. And so, and God says, verse 38, God giveth it a body as it hath pleased him, to every seed his own body. Even as every plant that comes up looks a little different. I mean, we're all going to be resurrected, and we're all going to be as similar or dissimilar as we are now. But you know, one corn stalk looks different than the other one. There's little differences. And so he says, to every seed his own body. So as different as the seed is from that which comes up out of the soil, we have, and listen, we have a very limited understanding to the glorious nature of our new bodies in the resurrection. They're going to be glorious, beloved. Now I can tell you this, on that day, again, you will never again be associated with or touch in any way sin or death. You won't touch it. It won't touch you. Not, absolutely not. Because in that day, the scripture says, God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death. No more death. If there's no more death, guess what else there's no more of? Sin. The wages of sin is death. So there'll be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. I mean, that's really, when you look at salvation, we will be complete when we're resurrected and reunited with our souls. Now, verse 39, and we're kind of drawing to a close here, but in 39, Paul makes a distinction, which I think is great. Here it destroys the theory of evolution, but look at verse 39. Paul says, all flesh is not the same. But there is one kind of flesh of men, and another flesh of beasts, and another of fishes, another of birds. In other words, birds have flesh, dogs have flesh, fish have flesh, bears have flesh, coyotes, chickens, and man has flesh. They're all different. They're all different. And that's the side note here. Paul destroys the theory of evolution, and you might say, how so? Well, if evolution were true, because the evolutionist says we all came out and we all came from one little cell that crawled out of the prehistoric soup and thought itself that it would evolve and become a crawling animal and then a walking animal and then eventually a human. And so we're all descended from the same cells. Well, Paul destroys that, because evolution says that the animals evolved on their own volition, eventually becoming human. If that's the case, all flesh would be the same flesh. Paul here says all flesh is not the same flesh. And so he says, as it is written in the Word of God, obviously, all flesh is not the same, not equal. And that's what you needed to understand. All flesh is not equal. The flesh of humans is very different than the flesh of animals, fish, and birds. The animals, the fish, and the birds will not rise to eternal life. They will not be resurrected. If your dog dies, you plant them, that's it. They go back to the earth. The cows, the animals, you name it, the brute creation dies, that's it. You are the only creatures that come up in the resurrection. Genesis 1, 26 and 27, Genesis 2, 7. When God made you, he made you in the likeness of himself, in his image. In the image of God created he you, male and female created he you, and he blessed them. In fact, Genesis 2:7, the Lord God formed man of the dust of the earth and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And God gave you dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowls of the air and over all the brute creation. And so only you, sons and daughters of Adam, will be raised again. Both the lost and the saved will be resurrected. The dead in Christ to eternal life, and the wicked dead to eternal damnation. So you are the highest of God's creation if you are a human, not the animals. They're not equal to us. God made us in his image. You and us, we are the ones who are the caretakers, the stewards, and who have dominion over the entire earth. And so That's the difference here. And so in verse 39, when Paul says all flesh is not the same flesh, remember that. All flesh is not the same flesh. There is no animal that's co-equal to you, because no animal was made in the image and likeness of God. So remember that. Then verse 40, he talks about celestial bodies and terrestrial bodies. There are celestial bodies and bodies terrestrial. But the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. There is one glory of the sun, and another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars. One star differeth from another star in glory. So Paul was showing us the differences of the earthly body and the heavenly body in farming. Then he shows us the differences in the animals. Now he shows us the differences in celestial and terrestrial bodies. Celestial and terrestrial bodies. So what's a celestial body? A celestial body is something in the heavens. The sun, the moon, and the stars. When you look up and you see the constellations, you're looking at the celestial bodies. They're above the earth. They're heavenly. They're in the heavens, the physical heavens. Now, when you look at terrestrial, terra means earth. Terrestrial are earthly bodies. It's like us, the animals, the rocks, the land, the water, the trees. That's the terrestrial bodies. And so, understand, as there's significant differences between our body when it's earthy and heavenly, there's significant differences between the flesh of humans and the flesh of birds and fish. So there are significant differences between celestial and terrestrial bodies. There's significant differences between humans, animals, fish, and birds. And there are significant differences between the heavenly bodies and the earthly bodies. When we are resurrected, saints of God, we will no longer be terrestrial. We will be celestial. We will no longer be earthy. And we're not going to get to this today, but Paul talks about those that are earthy and those that are heavenly. So there's a significant difference that we see. When we are resurrected, we will no longer be earthy and terrestrial, but we will be heavenly and celestial. Now, he says, verse 41, there's one glory of the sun and another glory of the moon and another glory of the stars. For one star differeth from another star in glory. And what better picture of the saints of God? Look up in the sky. Every star is different, yet every star gleams the glory of God. And then to close, I'm just going to read. I'm not going to really comment on verses 42 to 49. Now, Paul, in this section, he wrote of the body at the time of burial. The body at the time of burial. When at death, it's planted or sown in the dust of the earth. Look at it, verse 42. We'll just read this and we'll be done. He says, so also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption. That's like this. They're going to bury this body in the grave. It is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body. There is a spiritual body. And he says, and so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. So when we die, our bodies are buried in corruption, dishonor, weakness as natural bodies. In the resurrection, Christian, your body is raised or resurrected incorruptible, in glory, without sin, and your body will be a spiritual body. Now, you think about spiritual body, you say, well, that seems like a contradiction. Will you be spirit or will you have a body? In other words, will you be a spirit or a body? My answer to that is yes. Yes. You will be both. But you will have a physical body. Christ today in the heavens is, he has a physical body. He rose bodily. The disciples sat there on the beach and ate with him. He ate some fish. I mean, he was the resurrected Christ. He's in heaven bodily. That's what's going to happen to us. So for now, our souls abide in decaying, sinful, dying bodies. But at the resurrection, our bodies will be changed significantly. We will then have perfect, incorruptible, and immortal bodies which shall never die. Now, listen, if you're lost, you might say, well, you know what? I heard all of what you said, but I don't believe the gospel of Christ, and I don't believe in God. There are people that will say that. I just don't believe in God. I don't believe it. You bring them the gospel, I say, I don't believe that. It's written by man. Every excuse under the sun. But here's something that they must believe in. And if you're lost and you say, I don't believe in God, you must believe this. Because you drive by him every day. You must believe in death. Because you see it. You've experienced it. You've seen people die. So you know death is real. So then my question for you is, if you say, I don't believe in God, I don't believe in Christ, I don't believe the gospel of Christ, I don't believe the death of Christ for my sins, well then tell me what you believe about death. And tell me what happens when you die. That's the question. Listen, there's so many pictures of the gospel just in the creation. And I'll leave you with this. And of course, you see the picture of the resurrection and the seeds falling into the ground and the plants regenerating themselves, life coming forth from death. But I'll just tell you this, and I always think about this when I go out and look at the night sky. You walk out in the night sky and you find the Big Dipper, and you tell me how that big scoop just happens to be in the sky all by itself. You tell me there's no God. Also tell me how that big scoop ended up being right in front of your face in the sky. Tell me that. Who put it there? You say it evolved. You tell me the Big Bang put it there. You tell me it just happened to be there. Takes more faith to believe that. More bad faith. But listen, God is true. The Bible says, Psalm 14, Psalm 53, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Don't be a fool today if you're lost. Believe Christ to the saving of your soul. Amen. Because one day, listen, and I said, you, those that don't believe in Christ, well, you'll believe in death when it happens. And you know what? You're coming up out of that grave. Whether you died a saint or died a sinner, you will come up. You'll be summoned to the great white throne of Jesus Christ to give an account for your life. And so, better think really long and hard about that before you go out into eternity lost. So, amen. Let's dismiss in prayer. Lord, we ask that you bless, Lord, the reading of your word, the preaching of your word. I pray, Father, that we would not just take for granted that we believe these things, but that we would study these things and that we would be faithful witnesses of Christ to the lost and dying world. Father, help us to express it to sinners with love and to tell them, Father, that their lives are but a vapor that appear for a short time and then vanish away. Oh God, help us, Father, to be friends of sinners, Lord. Help us not to push them off, but to love them and to point them to Christ and to tell them of eternal life and the resurrection to eternal blessedness in that day. Oh God, help us. And we'll give you all the praise. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.